The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what's going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 231. I'm your host, Tony Polacco, and I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, what up?
Brett Murdoch.
What's up, party people?
And Mr. Brian Manjoma.
I kind of have one issue with Endgame, but it's a very slight.
I will come over there and slap the shit out of you right now, man. And I don't spoil it for the people, man.
The people. I know that there's no She-Hulk. What's that about?
There's no She-Hulk. Well, you know, I did like the part Wolverine showed up. That was pretty awesome. You know, he killed everybody.
Did anybody think it was weird? I thought Batman was only DC.
Hey, listen, anything happens with the Infinity Stones, right?
Yo, Squirrel Girl did an amazing job just fucking up Thanos. I'm sorry.
All right, Ben. We got Game of Thrones to watch, so we're going to get through this. No real fluff. But I do want to congratulate Robert Clark, who won our Days Gone giveaway. So that was pretty cool.
Nice.
Actually, I do need to go off on a tangent. Fuck Sony. I'm going to explain why, because he wanted a digital copy. So I'm like, all right, I'll go to Amazon, get him a digital copy. Apparently, as of April 1st, 2019, you cannot buy digital games from Sony games anywhere but their store. Which is fucking bullshit.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, because my man wanted a digital copy. So what I ended up doing was I bought him a $60 card, PSN card, you know, and gave him that. So he was mad cool about it. He didn't mind any of that. Like, I was more mortified by it than he was, you know. But it sucks. Granted, you know, moving forward, you know, I guess we'll give you the choice of physical or a card. But with third-party games, you don't need to worry about that because, you know, we could still buy those digitally, you know, and get a code and everything. And I was like, what the fuck? You know, but weird shit. Also, you know, we were talking about an Endgame beforehand, but we're not going to get into it now for obvious reasons. I do want to plug the Endgame spoiler cast that the Coalition did. And me and Carlos were actually on that episode earlier this afternoon, which was a lot of fun, you know.
Yep.
Also, PSA, sidebar for you guys, no Endgame chat in the chat.
Yeah, and in Discord as well. None of that. Actually, no, in Discord you can, because we did set up a specific spoiler thing for it. But you're right, in the chat, no talking about any of that. And if you talk about Game of Thrones, you will be immediately ejected from the chat. Fuck that.
Do not.
You know, come on, son. Yeah, that's that. So let's get into it, man. We got some questions. First up,
I got a question.
Uh-oh.
I got a surprise question for Chris.
Oh, no.
Excuse me? Oh, what's up? You and me?
So, Chris, today I read an article. World War Z sells, quote, way above expectations on PC, thanks to Epic Store exclusivity, devs say. They said they sold more than 250,000 of the 1 million games sold on the Epic Store. So I was curious as to your thoughts on how somebody can sell more copies by being on less platforms. And if you could explain this to me.
I don't see how. I would think that's a fluff piece more than anything.
I feel like this is complete idiocy, and I'm like, that's not how numbers work. And
no,
I wanted to put
Steam,
it to the voice
Steam,
of logic.
Yeah, Steam has a much, much wider adoption, so that doesn't make sense. That's like, look, even as well as, you know, the Switch is doing right now, if you were to take the next Resident Evil game, whatever is coming out, and say it's exclusive for the Switch, well, then you're going to lose out on the install base of PlayStation, which is like probably 90 million plus, and Xbox, right? So that would make the same analogy. And then if you were to write an article and say, well, it sold better on Switch, well, that doesn't make any sense. The pool is smaller. Steam's pool is tremendous. It would have years of adoption. probably like way over 100 million probably users or people that shop on there or whatever. So to say that it would sell better on the Epic Store because it's on there is ridiculous to me. That doesn't make sense.
So what you're saying is this is almost like a propaganda piece standing up the Epic Store in the face of all the bad PR that they've had lately?
Yeah, I'd say they greased the wheels a little to get a little positive press.
Interesting. Fuck it. Since it's our show, we're allowed to ask questions too. Chris, did you see Sony's financials?
No, I didn't.
All right.
Did they release it?
They did. Apparently, they released it on Friday, the day after Yeah. So okay. So actually, my next follow up would be: will you have the graph for us on Thursday's show?
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Okay, now that I know, I'll go download it and read it.
Sounds good. All right, man. Let's get into the fan questions here. Black Metal Gamer starts us off with: what was your favorite ending in a game that had multiple endings?
A game that had multiple endings, huh?
You know, like Heavy Rain and shit like that, you know?
Oh,
I got it.
I liked the green one from Mass Effect.
The green one? I like the red one.
Shit. Yo, it's all about blue, son. All right, go ahead, Brian.
Shit.
The good ending from Infamous 1.
I knew you were going to say that.
That's a good ending.
I kind of like the bad ending from Infamous 1.
I'm drawing a blank.
I like the secret ending from Far Cry 4. I mean, that ending, you literally are 10 minutes in. You don't have to do anything. If you do exactly what Pagan Man says and don't do anything, you literally become leader of the country. That's the ending. I mean, he leaves the whole thing to you. It's like you win. But you win in the best way possible.
What's to stop you from becoming exactly like him?
Yeah, by the way, I'm legit drawing a blank. I can't think of anything.
Yeah, I mean, like for me, like I'm thinking about alternate endings. I'm not thinking of anything. I'm like, yeah, there was Mass Effect, which really didn't care matter. You know, obviously the endings were just kind of whack. Just the same, variations of the same thing.
Yo, Manny, I'm going to put you on a path right now. What was your favorite alternate ending in Nier Automata?
I mean, the thing is, it's funny because, like, there is actually just one ending, but there's all these kind of what we call, they're not game overs, but they're joke, you know, they're kind of joke game, you know, and endings. You know, like, there's one where you can blow up, you blow up the base by self-destructing yourself, and it tells you what happens after that. There's also another one where you, if you decide to eat this crazy fish, and it like you, your character just goes into this euphoria and just dies.
Oh shit!
Yeah, it's like this one point. This lady goes, "Oh yeah, hey, I've made this this crazy ass fish. I'm not sure what it'll do to you, but if you eat, you know." But you can try it out and see what happens. So you try it out and it literally kills you. And it's like, I think it's like ending F or whatever. Yeah,
what's the worst that could happen?
Yeah. Because you kind of just trust whatever she did. Like most of the NPCs in the game, they have, you know, they're your best interests in mind, right? And they're like, hey, you know, you can do this and, you know, everything be good. You do this one mission for me. All right, cool. So this one situation where this lady usually tells you, tells you to do something for her. If it's like, hey, if you try it out, we'll see what happens. You know, you be my guinea pig. And then you try it out and you die. Yeah, so there's just a bunch of fun little silly things in there. But endings, I couldn't really call them endings. They were just more like, you know, like creative game overs. Like instead of saying game over or you're dead, they actually give you some sort of storyline to explain the thing that you've seen. You know, like, hey, you decided to blow up the base. What happens with that? You know?
Yeah. I don't know, because I always try to get every ending possible, so they're all kind of equal to me in that sense. So yeah, I don't know. I think I'm going to excuse myself from this one. I can't think of anything. I don't think I really. Yeah, go ahead, Brett.
Detroit Become Human.
Oh, which one?
I actually did the. I think it was the pacifist ending. Kind of on accident, and I was actually quite surprised and pleased by how it ended up.
Oh, nice.
I
mean, well,
I can spoil, can't I?
Yes, sure, it's a game's a year old. By the way, since you're going that way, I'm going to say I liked my ending because I pretty much caused the robot revolution to start. It reminded me of, Conquest of the Planet of the Apes, the fourth movie, like where the apes just uprise and kill everybody. Like, that's what the robots did in my game.
And I can see, like, it was actually really interesting having that talk because your ending sounds honestly just as satisfying, but my ending felt incredibly satisfying. I think that was the beauty of the game is not that it's the best ending, but all of the endings were actually great. But my ending was basically like we had this big peaceful protest march and everybody got mowed down and refused to rise to violence and rise to debate. And Marcus ended up kissing his main love interest and they caught that on national TV. And everybody just immediately kind of just dropped their weapons and, you know, realized that robots could have emotions. It was this kind of really, really powerful moment. And it basically, they ended up giving Detroit to the androids and seceding and letting the androids kind of create their own community and move forward.
Wow. See, I mean, my androids took over, they got Detroit, but by force. Because during that same scene you were talking about, Brett, the peaceful protest, when the cops started killing the androids, I'm like, all right, these motherfuckers asked for it. Let's go. You know, so we started slaughtering humans everywhere. And when the blonde girl was trying to go to Canada, they saw the robot revolution. They killed her right there on the spot. I'm like, damn, this is crazy. And they killed a little girl, too. You know,
damn. So also, mine wasn't blonde.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because you could choose color of her hair.
Yeah, I think I stuck with blonde. But yeah, no, mine was pretty fucking grim. It was like, all right, fuck you humans. We're your new overlords now. Like, shit.
It's interesting. It's interesting for how many games there are out there, but how little actually give you full control over what direction that you decide to go, you know?
Yeah, well, it makes sense because there's only so many things you could film and all that, you know, voice record. You know, you have limits.
Yeah, I mean, there's limits, and there's also, I mean, granted, I'm definitely in the sort of text-based era. You could have
multiple endings
because all you needed to do is just write a different bunch of flavor text at the end, you know? Yeah. And so they all died. Yay! You know? So it's like, yeah, it's interesting because, like, yeah, I don't have very there's not many games that sort of come to mind when you're that do. I mean, Heavy Rain had different endings, but it almost felt like, you know, but they were pretty drastic because they were just because, you know, whether some characters lived or died or whatever like that. If you actually completed the mini games properly, you know, you can get a slightly different ending each time.
Yeah, Heavy Rain just felt like slightly different endings, though. Whereas Detroit honestly felt like the story pivoted in different, like same story, but vastly different directions. So, like, I think Quantic Dream has been getting better. I loved Heavy Rain, but I had no desire to play it a second time.
Beyond Two Souls is way less. You have way less control over the final narrative in that game.
Yeah,
just slight differences, you know, as to what people you decide to save and what people you just let go. That's about it. But it's never really very many main characters that feel it.
Yeah,
that's what I was expecting. But when Tony and I talked, like we were talking about the end scenes, and like our end game were so vastly different. It was actually pretty fucking surprising.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with you. Detroit is definitely their best game so far. All right, let's move on. Next question.
Wait, real quick.
Got another one? Damn, man.
I want to nominate one on behalf of Brian. I haven't finished it yet, but I feel like it's going that way, and I'm wondering if whether he can confirm or deny without spoiling. Because I am playing it, so don't be a dick, even though it's an old game. Divinity 2. What do you think, Brian?
I've not played 2 yet. I'm just having fun with 1.
Oh. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen.
All right. Anybody else want to chime in with anything?
All right, I'll say just to know, Carlos, Witcher 3. Technically, it had 2 different endings, so it counts.
All right. Next question. Did you ever replay a game because you unlocked new skins or outfits? If so, what game did you replay with what new unlockable outfit? I've never done this.
I have never done it either. Usually the way I do it, I call it playing for keeps. I get every single thing you could possibly get in that one playthrough, and that's it. So I recently finished off Kingdom Hearts and got the Platinum. One and done, all the way through. Got the ultimate weapon, got to level 99, got the ultimate weapon, kicked the final boss's ass. The only thing I had to do after all that is only things that could be done after the game is gone, the game is over, the end game content, right? So I just cleaned off a couple of those things, and then that was it, platinum. So yeah, I don't usually kind of go back to for games if there's like this, they decided to put some sort of DLC or anything like that. I mean, I did turn on Spider-Man when they started giving you free outfits in the game, but at the same time, I'm like, I haven't gone back to the final to Spider-Man just to play it with the alternate outfits.
I've never done that. Like, oh, hey, look, I unlocked a new outfit. I'm going to replay the whole game with that outfit. I've never done that. That's crazy.
But he could be asking about this because Devil May Cry is like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you have like two. There's like two alternate outfits for every single character in the game.
Yeah, but do those outfits change your like gameplay in any way? Because if they don't, I don't see the point.
No, they just change your look.
Yeah, that doesn't matter then.
Does New Game Plus count?
What happened, Britt?
Does New Game Plus count?
I don't know. I mean, he didn't ask about it. But like, would you replay an entire game just because you unlocked a new outfit?
I have. I replayed Dark Souls on New Game Plus because I unlocked my sexy sorceress skirt.
Oh, okay.
Fashion sold my way through a New Game Plus run.
So purely because of that. That's interesting. What's going on?
I mean, I had leveled up my fireball enough to like just rock the fuck out of everything, and I got my cool Fashion Souls outfit and a big ass axe. So yeah, I was like, I've only had this awesome stuff for like 10% of the game. Let's go balls to the wall mode. Like, that's why I say I don't know if New Game Plus counts, because New Game Plus is you're fully geared, just fucking balls to the wall, rock that game as hard as possible because everything's gonna be cranked up difficulty wise. Even Spider-Man does New Game Plus, so I'm not sure. Like, I don't know that I'd go back and play the regular game again, but New Game Plus with all my outfits and abilities, sure, but that's and my ability. So it's, no, I wouldn't go back just for a costume.
Like, what's going on, Adam?
What's up?
Yeah, so would you ever or have you ever replayed a game when, you know, because you got a new outfit in it?
Not new outfit, but additional content. I did. Oh, shit, I did. Dead Rising for 360. Later on, they started releasing all these crazy outfits, and they were like, oh, yeah, if you just go into one of the locker room areas, you could start swapping out these outfits. I was like, oh, all right. So I went back, tried those out, but I didn't go back for this Spider-Man thing after they released the Spider-Man, the Sam Raimi one, mm-hmm. that outfit. I just didn't go back to that.
But see, with those outfits that they released, they at least came with like new stories, so that makes sense. But let's just say they released the Sam Raimi suit and there's no new story content. It's just their Sam Raimi suit. I wouldn't go back for that because that doesn't make any sense.
But that wasn't part of the DLC. That was just free.
Oh, yeah, it was. But the DLC came out right around it. So I'm like, yeah, I'll try it, you know? I was still playing something new, you know what I'm saying? Like, I wouldn't replay a whole game just to play with outfit. So I'm guessing nobody in here would.
Yeah, not really. I mean, not really. Not to go that far back. I mean,
But anyway, since we're not that deep into the show, Adam, what was your favorite ending with a game from multiple endings?
Shit. My favorite ending.
Yeah, from like alternate ending.
I mean, oh, wow. There was a few of those. Heavy Rain had a few good ones. The main ending was the best one out of all the sad endings. You know, but I did go back to play to try the other endings. I heard Detroit had some good ones.
Oh, yeah. We were just talking about that. Like the way Brett's game ends is completely different than the way mine ends.
See, and that's cool. That's cool because then it's like, okay, you know, everybody got a different experience out of it. I'm trying to think. Yeah, the most recent one I can think of that had a good twist like that was Heavy Rain, because not a lot of games, even these Telltale games, they all come up to the same result.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not like, oh, yeah, well, there's an alternate. No, there's an alternate path to the same result. It's not really different. Oh, yeah. The only one that comes to mind is just Heavy Rain because there were so many different ones. And I'm like, nah, I want to try the other one. I want to try the main one.
Yeah, don't feel too bad. I came up blank on this one. I'm like, eh, pass. I don't know.
Yours has to be Detroit because you did get to finish that one.
Yeah, no, I did that. But in general, but the thing is, I don't know, like, because I don't know the other ending. So I can't say which one's my favorite. The one I got was awesome, but I don't know about the other ones, you know. Anyway, man, I want to move
well,
on.
Well, you did Heavy Rain one, right? You did Heavy Rain.
Yes,
right?
Yes, I
you did all of those.
But right, I don't,
so then you, yeah. But remember, there were some sad endings in there, and then the main was I mean, I guess we could spoil it. It was the cop, you know, and then yeah. That you were able to save the kid and do the whole thing. It was really epic, especially with the cops showing up.
So, I didn't like the whole thing with the cop. It's like, yo, you've been the killer this whole time, motherfucker.
The whole time.
Mm-hmm. Like, that was bullshit. Right. Like, you doing shit on your own time without me controlling you, man. That's what's going on the streets right now. That's what's hot. All right, man, let's move on here. Tennessee Sooner. Microsoft announced it acquired several studios last year's E3. Good games take about 3 years to produce. Will the next Xbox console ever have time for these games to be ready on release day? No.
Well, but we're assuming that they started from scratch. We don't know if they had some games in development already.
That's a good point. You know,
that's the thing a lot of people forget. It's like these guys aren't twiddling their thumbs hoping something comes along. They're working on stuff and then they pitch it to these publishers. Say, hey, you want to invest in this? Hey, you want to invest? We learned that from Cliff Bleszinski. Remember when after the whole thing fell apart, he was like, yo, we were working this for the years. We were pitching it to everybody and their mother to see who wants to pick this up. So I'm thinking a lot of these studios probably had stuff in the works. Microsoft came along and said, hey, you're working on this? You're working on yeah, you know what? Fuck it. We're picking you all up. That's it. We want the whole shebang.
Yeah. Okay. So you know what? Yeah. If they're starting from scratch, then no. But if they've been working on them, then possibly.
Yep. Except Outlander. That one we already know. That was, they already had their deals tied and stuff. So that's why it's multi-plat and all that.
Yeah. I don't think we really have to go on more with that question. There you go. Okay. I'm going to finish this question, and you guys just don't say nothing until I finish it, all right? Because, Manny, this is a question I was specifically talking to you about on the train the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It seems like the panel tends to lean away from PvP games. What game broke the dam and made you say maybe PvP is for me? Okay, here's the thing. Why is it that we have 7 dudes on this podcast, right? Yet only... The opinions of 1 or 2 guys seems to speak for the entire crowd. For example, this, you know, Tennessee says that the panel doesn't like PvP games. You realize it's only me and Manny, right? Like, the rest of the guys here like PvP games. Like, we're the only ones, but this is not the first time this has happened. It's like, oh, yeah, you guys don't play multiplayer games. Like, no, me and Manny don't. The rest of the guys do.
Yeah.
You know?
We used to have a segment where it's like what games have we been playing? I would always say Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah, every
fucking somebody wasn't listening.
I find that interesting. You know, like people kind of select.
Maybe he's new.
No, I don't think so. No, he says the panel seems to, but maybe he is new. But again, like, well, I don't know why you would get that. Where literally every single episode that we've done, most of the guys are praising PvP games. Very interesting to me. You know,
Adam are probably the loudest about.
Yeah, but you wouldn't. Yeah. But Chris obviously plays them. Brian, you, Carlos. So very weird to me. So Manny, I guess this question is really for us.
Okay.
What was the game that made you say this isn't for me?
The game that said that made you say this was not for me.
But I should add online PvP because Manny and I still like playing other people in the same room.
Yeah,
together.
Like people forget. Like you guys played a lot of Street Fighter.
Of course, we played the fuck out of Street Fighter.
In room PvP, player versus player.
Local
PvP. Player versus player. Well, that's fine. Online from what was the game that actually made you do? I can't actually name anything specific. I just know that, you know, it was whatever game I was playing. And I, you know, obviously, just like anything, I gave it the benefit of the doubt. And I just didn't like that sort of situation because, I mean, to be honest, it's like I don't get an adrenaline rush from getting my ass whooped by somebody else. So it wasn't the sort of thing that really interested me. I mean, to be honest, I was like, if I'm going to go against somebody, I want it to be somebody I can look in the face of and we can talk a little smack or do something like that rather than just have some essentially what is a player played bot beat the shit out of me. That doesn't give me anything. So, you know, I'm going to be the first to admit that I'm not exactly that great at playing, you know, certain games. Shooting games I'm okay at. I mean, to be honest, if anything, I'd be I'm the idiot that runs at everybody punching them. So, I mean, I'm just not great at this sort of stuff. So it makes it even feel even worse when you're just like the minute that you walk into a room, somebody just headshots you instantly. And then it gets even worse when you're like down the line a bit. You know what I mean? When you're down the line, you know, you decide to get into playing the online later after you finish the full game, and you know, everybody's friggin' beast. So I really didn't like that. The type of online stuff that I like is stuff where, you know, like the guys are currently playing like co-op. Right now. Yeah, co-op online where we're all going toward some sort of goal. I like goal-based online aspects where like we're all together. We don't need to shoot each other in the head. You know, we're just going towards something else. I like that better.
I'm gonna have to quote Richard Billy. I agree with everything I was just said. You made some very, 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 very good points.
Shout
out to Rich, man.
Speaking of online, did you know that Gears of War actually had a
Manny, you're gonna derail the conversation. We're not doing right now.
I'm gonna say it. Did you know that Gears of War actually had an aspect to it which essentially every single new player was more powerful than the rest of the players who've already been playing the game? Apparently, to give players a chance online, you know, new players a chance online, every single new player is actually overpowered, and each subsequent kill that they get on them after, you know, on everybody else after, then their buff goes away. And this is Gears of War 1. Imagine if we knew about this then. People would have fucking blew their gasket on that one. Anyway.
Interesting. For me, the first online game I ever played was Metal Gear Online, you know, for Metal Gear Solid 4. And this is what happened. First time I'm playing, I'm like, oh, shit, this game's crazy, man. Everybody's just running around killing each other. This is fucking nuts. And then 15 minutes later, I'm like, everybody's just running around killing each other. This is stupid. And every PvP online game I've played, and this was, what, 10 years ago, has been exactly the same. Dudes running around the map, shooting each other. I'm like, what's the point of this? Like you know, the ones that I have played for a while, like Destiny, I've gotten better. Like, to me, it's not really about, like, oh, these guys are kicking my ass. I could get good. It's just, like, I don't see the point. Like, it's pointless. Like, what is the goal here? Like you said, Manny, I like goals to work with. That's why I like co-op. Like, okay, here's the mission. We got to kill this monster. Let's go kill this monster. With PvP, it's like, kill each other for points. I'm like, I don't care about that shit.
It's not just points. It's different levels. It's different gear. Sometimes it's actually to unlock other parts of a certain map. You have to get to certain levels to experience it. For example, look at the raids, right? We're doing the whole thing with the Division. What's the point of doing a grind? The grind is to get the gear so that way we could do the raid.
Yeah, but that's a co-op aspect. That's different.
But there's still a lot of people that do it for PvP. PvP still offers the same rewards. In fact, you get even more XP for doing it in PvP. So a lot of people will do that grind just so they can get the extra XP, so they can get the faster level up. You know, and you get a lot of other cool perks. Sometimes you're big into, let's say, assault rifles or certain weapons, and this is big in Call of Duty. Well, if you keep playing and you grind up and you get to the next level, then you can probably get the next weapon or the next great attachment for that weapon and the perks, and that's why people do it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I get it. It's just not for me, man.
Here's the thing. Like, I just don't like that sort of repetitive sort of action, especially if I don't feel like I'm actually progressing anywhere. Again, I told you, I'm not very good at playing these sorts of shooting games, you know? So I'm going to just sit there and just keep getting my ass whipped, and maybe it went maybe 2% of the time. I've got much better things to do than sit in a room and get my ass shot all the damn time, to be honest.
Oh, man. All right. So, yeah, anyway, just so you guys know, most of the guys, literally 5/7 of us, play PvP games and love PvP. It's just me and Manny. You don't say that about everybody.
Yeah, we fully admit that we are a minority within everybody. We know that a lot of people out there love player versus player sorts of games, you know, stuff that's online. That's a lot of people.
The opinions of Tony and Emilio, I reflect those of the throwdown.
The throwdown panel, right?
Yeah. All right, man, let's move on here. Big Mike in the house. All right, both of these questions are for me, actually. Tony, you played and reviewed Days Gone. If you had to score it, what would you score it? 8. 8 out of 10. There you go. Did the story in Days Gone keep you interested? Or was it a generic game that got boring fast? As I said in my review, I like the story very much. I just had to put my own biases away, over open world zombie games in order for me to appreciate what this game is doing. I still say it's somewhat generic, but the story itself, that kept me going. That was really good. The gameplay, you know, it's decent, but the story was really good, especially like at the halfway point. Like that's when shit gets real, you know? All right.
I have to say it, you know, I really like that, the fact that you know, and I've known you've done this all the time whenever you've done the reviews, where you essentially try to put all those sorts of biases and things and try to give everything a sort of fair chance, as opposed to just saying, I don't like this game, this game sucks.
Yeah, no, I like it because it took me like good 20, 30 hours to finally get into it, you know?
Yo, man, I'm proud of you, man.
Well, I mean, not everybody can do that sort of thing where it's just essentially sort of drop their sort of, you know, try to drop as many of their biases and let the game show what it needs to do, you know, for you. I mean, you recently...
To be fair, though, that's because I have to review it. If I didn't have to review games, then I wouldn't be touching anything that doesn't interest me. You know?
Oh yeah, definitely. Like you recently reviewed the Phoenix Strikes games, right?
I did. Yeah.
And you know, that was definitely a big, you would never play one of those things, like a visual novel slash mystery game.
Yeah. Yeah. And I even said in my review, I'm like, I'm not gonna play this game after this review, but mm-hmm. I see why people like these. You know? Mm-hmm. Gotta be fair. Even if you don't like the games, you gotta be fair to it, you know. And people really enjoyed my Days Gone review. I felt that was probably my most unbiased review I've written in a long time, because I'm like, okay, there's a lot of things in here that I personally don't like, but other people will. So let's just take that out of the equation and just tell you what the game has, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was a long fucking review too. But hey, nobody.
Was it longer than a lot of your other ones?
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, but people liked it. So, you know, there you go. But you know how it is with art. You just see the flaws, but everybody else likes it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, moving on. G Megaforce 123. Would you ever consider skipping a console generation? For the whole panel, obviously. Would you ever consider skipping a console generation?
Unless I'm dying of cancer or something.
Well, it depends. If I'm not playing anything on that console, then yeah, I could see that happen. I skipped the Saturn. I went to
But you play PlayStation that generation. Like he's talking like you're skipping the entire generation, no games at all.
Yeah, but I mean that's a generation. Oh well, no, not the whole generation. No, but I could skip a.
Yeah, that, he's talking
a
about
console, but not the whole generation. What would be the point? Why do that? That's pretty much giving up on gaming altogether. Then.
I don't think there's anybody here that's going to say yes to this.
Brian.
Brian, that's true. Brian skip a generation. That's right.
Not really.
You played on PC. Right?
Yeah, that is true. PC's the, you know. Go ahead, Brian.
And plus, I've had every single PlayStation apart from the handhelds, and that's pretty much as old as I am. So I've not really skipped one since.
Brian, did you have an Atari 2600?
No, I didn't exist back then.
Then you skipped a generation. Let's move on.
Yeah, because I didn't exist, you know.
I didn't get the Atari 2600 either, man. By the way, now when I go to England, I want to bring Brian a Vita. Just so he can say he has it, you know.
No, that shit's probably expensive now since they discontinued.
Oh, fuck, that's right. Yeah, I should have bought that extra one, man. Oh, well.
I have two of them.
Nice. By the way, Glorious War asked if he could... ask questions.
Yes, you can, sir.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. Oh yeah, Carlos. Just throw them to me. You know, just hit me up in Discord and throw those questions, or you could just drop them into throw down your questions. You know, the section. Because I don't have Skype on right now. You know, and I don't feel like turning that shit on. All right, thanks, man. Where the fuck are we? So yeah, no one's skipping console generation here. You know, we may get in there late, like Manny. He waits like 2 or 3 years, but he's gonna get in there eventually too. You know.
Yeah, I've never really skipped I've skipped actual consoles, yes. But I've never skipped a generation.
See, now that would be a question, because I know a lot of people here probably skipped a few. I know I skipped a few of the handhelds for Nintendo. I didn't get the DSi. I didn't get...
we've skipped consoles, but not like, okay, I'm just not playing games for 10 years, basically.
I feel like, you know, you, like, when the Sega kind of... you know, kind of fell apart, right? I know you were having that sort of question. Oh, like, yeah. You know, or I guess I'm not going to ever be playing it another console again.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, that was definitely back then. Now I'm like, Tony, you're not going to stop gaming. Stop fronting.
Stop fronting. You lying.
You lying. Why are you lying? Oh, man.
Because I'm a liar. I'm a liar.
Oh, man. All right, where the hell are we? Okay.
Henry Rollins.
Yeah, respect, man. Which character in a video game has the weirdest voice?
Which character?
That kid from Octopath.
Oh. Hey, sir, could you give me more?
Hey, sir. Are we going to go back?
I'm trying to think.
What's I just keep thinking of that creature from Zelda. I forgot which one. It was like, hey, over here, or some shit like that. What was it that it always said?
Fairy.
Oh, Navi.
The fairy. Navi. Yeah, Navi. Oh, God.
Hey, listen.
Yeah.
I have a buddy of mine who has it as his text tone. It's fucking annoying. It's just constant. Hey, listen.
I don't know. This voice isn't annoying, but the only way I can think of is Bentley from Sly Cooper. Hey, Sly! Yeah. But I like that voice. It's fun to me. I don't know.
Do I make you laugh, Sly?
And what was the name of the big fat one? He had like a funny voice. Ooh, hey, Sly.
The Murray!
Yeah, the Murray! I like those voices. They were fun. I don't know. I can't think of anything.
Oh, I know.
I think my brain's just not working that because I'm thinking about Game of Thrones, man.
I got one. You remember Irving from Resident Evil 5?
What was his voice? What
is Irving? Like? He's like, you're all gonna die. He sounds like that. He's like,
he kind of sounded like a caricature from a Looney Tunes or something.
Yes. He sounded weird. Like, he sounded like Timon.
Timon.
I'm like, why does this guy like we're talking Resident Evil 5, obviously it's a little bit over the top, but for some reason that dude just is like a total cartoon. No,
that's a good example because he didn't fit with everyone else's voice acting. Everybody's sounds normal and this guy sounds like he came out of like a 30s cartoon or something. He sounds so weird.
Oh, by the way,
Curse the Red Field.
Glorious War.
I don't have a good one.
Yeah, Glorious War, since you missed the top of the show, Chris isn't going to do the financials tonight for Sony, so you could ask another question instead of that.
Yeah, we're probably going to go do that on the next
Yeah, because unfortunately, they dropped the financials on a Friday, you know, and Chris didn't even know they dropped them until, like, I told them tonight, you know, so Thursday, we got you, son. Yep. All right, so you could ask another question. Man, I'm... You know, gotta have it with the butter in there. That's the key
part. That's it.
What the fuck are we right now, man? By the way, Brett, any weird voices you remember from a game?
Not really.
Yeah, I can't think of anything, man.
Yeah, I'm having trouble with that.
Like, to me, most, you know, like, yeah, I don't know. I can't think of anything. I mean, I think of bad voices, like, you know, Resident Evil 1 or something.
What is
this? But they're not really weird because, like, that's just how they were, you know?
Wow, what a mansion.
What a mansion. That's crazy. All right, moving on. Mr. Johnny W. Uppercut. By the way, I got to say this. Johnny, man, the period goes after the W, not before. It drives me up a wall. I got to fix this every week. I don't have to do it, but I have that OCD shit. Please change that fucking period. It's after the W, not before. Where in the hell is that Avengers game Crystal Dynamics is making? You tell me, man. I don't know.
Who knows? Who knows?
Are you sure? It's
okay, wait for the documentary when you find out all the fucked up shit that happens. You know, it's like we had to restart it 3 times, you know, and I quit 4 times and they kept bringing me back and now I got drug problem and this is my doc on YouTube.
Again.
There's always going to be some shit. There's always going to be some shit.
Yeah, so we can't tell you anything we don't know, bro. Yeah, it could. Adam, I think you might be right, bro. Maybe in development hell because we haven't heard nothing.
Exactly. And there's no way. Before they teased it, they wouldn't wait this long to bring out more info unless some fucked up shit happened. That's true. Yeah, we can't do it. We can't do it now.
Yeah, maybe we'll hear something at E3, but we haven't heard nothing at all.
Shit, if there was any time to release any tidbit, you would do it around Endgame time. You know, get that buzz, get that hype, get that pre-order going. You know, it's like you finish seeing a movie, run to the bodega, go pre-order this shit.
You know. All right, man. Bob, yo, I'm telling you, man, this motherfucker makes up these names just to hear me say them. Bob Ross's pubic fro band.
R.I.P. Bob Ross.
Yeah, but his questions are always pretty good. What games have the best character physics and animations?
Best character physics and animations? I mean, you know, there's quite a bit. I mean, as far as animations, I mean, like the Assassin's Creed games have always had really amazing animation as far as the character climbing and all that other stuff.
Yeah, you already know what I'm going to say. Naughty Dog.
Uncharted,
man.
Yeah,
Uncharted.
Remember when the first Uncharted came out, everybody lost their minds over those animations.
Shit, I lost my mind. What was it? Two? I think it was two when they had that fight scene in the bar.
That was
that three?
Three.
Oh, that was three. Three. Yeah, that was remember three, that? Yeah. That blew my mind. I'm like, oh, shit, this is fucking crazy. It looks so real.
Yeah, I remember in the second game, right, they made a big deal about the fact that when the building was shaking, like, you see the water in bottles independently moving. Then they did that entire physics thing on a boat. Like, everything inside the boat is independently moving from each other. Like, even bottles on the boat, and the water was moving independently. Fucking insane, you know? So, yeah, those were really good animations. What about physics, though? Like, what game do you feel has the best physics? That's a little bit trickier, I feel.
Because,
you know, a lot of games have a lot of good animations. You know, Rockstar Games and other ones. The animations are crazy.
Oh, man. The Last of Us Part 2. Is that gameplay?
Is that gameplay?
You know what I
mean? No, it's not gameplay. They even said it wasn't gameplay.
Wait, what?
Remember with the Last of Us Part 2. Remember with the arm and the whole thing? With the arm being chopped off, and they said, what part of the game is that? And I'm like, this is not gameplay. This
he's talking about the part specifically where Ellie was in the...
Oh,
in
when she was running around?
I
throw my hat in it. Yeah, no gameplay. That's fake.
Yeah, it's fake.
it's just, you know, trying to proof of concept type shit.
Brett, what about you? I feel you probably have a lot to say in this one.
What was the question again? Sorry, I'm doing art.
All right. What games have the best physics and character animations?
Oh, I was thinking about this, and I was having trouble coming up with God.
Come on, Brett. You know the answer.
Oh, what? Elder Scrolls? Yeah.
Yeah.
I almost spit up my drink.
Hey, man. Any game where you can ragdoll physics scream a goat off a mountaintop kind of gets bonus points in my book.
I already report then.
Yeah. I have trouble. That is a half genuine answer because I base it off a whole bunch of different stuff. Like, what do you define physics in games as? I guess like physics. How well a car flips over.
Yeah, something like that. Like, ragdoll physics, shit like that. You know.
I mean, honestly, then I'd have to give it to Elder Scrolls because it has the most things generated. Yeah, it gets wonky at times, but it has the most things generated towards physics. I can throw a fireball at a dining room table covered in bowls and plates. And that shit explodes and flies all over the room in a mostly convincing fashion. So I'm going to go with physics. For me, it kind of goes quantity over quality. Like every once in a while, something spins off a little weird. That's fine. I see that shit in GTA. It doesn't bother me all that much. But I find it really impressive when everything has physics. So I can't really think of anything. Bulletstorm had fun physics. But again, most of the time, it's just the way a body falls or the way a car flips. I don't really consider that physics in game. Congratulations, you have good driving mechanics, I guess, but that's not really physics. Am I thinking this question the wrong way?
Maybe, but I'm gonna allow it.
All right.
Chris, what about you?
I would give it to like Just Cause 3. Just
yeah, that has good physics. Yeah.
Yeah, the all the things.
Just Cause. Yeah,
no, it was great. Like, it was like, what if I string this helicopter, this car together? What's gonna happen? And all the things that the game figures out, like when you blow up a giant bridge or something, it's well done.
Yeah, I'm surprised Brian didn't say that.
It was my answer, but I would have given it to Elder Scrolls. After that video where the cheese is like rolling down the hill or like down the mountain.
Oh,
like,
I've seen that.
That's quite impressive. And for best animation, I have to give it to Fear and Rage. Like when you shot like those body parts, like you like see them like ricochet back from it. It's like, oh shit, it's actually like impacting them. If I shoot a guy like in the shoulder, then his shoulder just like throws back. You know, if I shoot a guy like in his leg like crumples backwards. It's like, oh shit, like it looks like I'm actually impacting him. You know?
All right, anybody else? Physics animations?
Mm-mm.
All right.
This is something just, it's old, but it just sticks out of my head when we think about ragdolling and the whole thing. Remember Manny, Minority Report?
Minority Report.
Oh, my Lord.
That game was hilarious. I love the ragdoll physics of that game.
Shit, you spent hours. I remember going to sleep, waking up, and I'm like, what are you doing? Did you finish the game? No, you were just throwing people against the wall.
Here's the thing. I was going through the game. But the game is, for some reason, Minority Report is a long fucking game. For just the game, you just beat the shit out of everybody and do that. So, yeah. I would love the game. I love the physics again, but the physics are so stupid in it. That's what made it awesome. And then every time you throw somebody around, it would like slow motion.
Yeah.
Like you threw them through some glass, and it'd be like slow motion, like whoa. Mm-hmm. and then also what made it hilarious was like, so like let's say you threw a guy off a building, right? And obviously they're in dumb ragdoll mode. But then they have this really fun like sound bite of a guy going, oh,
and he keeps twitching on the ground.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like that. But that's not pure. It's probably the same reason why Goat Simulator, people love that Goat Simulator game, because it's just so stupid and absurd looking.
Yo, hold on, Glorious War, bro. That's three questions, man. Just quickly summarize, and we're going to answer them. Your first question is about, you know, the order and the Metacritic affecting the sequel. Your second question is about the lifespan of the PS, or the sales of PS4 versus PS2. Now you're asking us another order question. That's three, bro. You got to pick which ones you want, man. Although I do want to answer the, because you think the question you're asking about the sequel to The Order, we already talked about that before, so I'm going to omit that one because the other questions are more pertinent. All right, moving on here. Adam, you'll like this question. What games have your favorite guns and bullet damage?
Can I answer for Adam?
Yes.
You better, because it's on my body. Let's see if he knows. What?
Gears of War.
There you go. I'm telling you, man, that Lancer. That Lancer was bad at rumbling in my hand, and a tear was rolling down my face. I was crying with joy. I was like, and then flipping it around and just running around with a chainsaw and just seeing all that blood squirt on my screen. Oh,
and,
my
God. And also, when you shoot the enemies, it makes that sounds like.
Yeah. It's like it's just tearing through them. Like,
yep. Yo, and that boom shot.
Oh, man.
You know what I mean? Oh, and the freaking. That arrow thing where you
shoot the crossbow thing. Yeah.
You charge it up and it's like.
Yep, yep. Damn. I can't wait till that game comes to Switch. We're going to have fun.
You're crazy, man.
I'm telling you, I have a feeling the first one is coming. The remastered one, the ultimate one, I think that's coming. That has to come. That can definitely work on it.
Yep. Yeah, Brett, your answer is Bulletstorm, right?
Yep.
All right. Anybody else favorite bullet and what is it? Favorite guns and bullet damage.
I like that old first person shooter Black. That one had great damage for a PS2 and original Xbox game. It had great collision damage with the environment, and the guns were like beefy, and they sound. It had great sounds.
Like, didn't Brink have like crazy ass sounds too? I remember they hyped that shit up. I don't know. I just don't remember if they ever lived up to it. Because I knew the game wasn't as good as people wanted it to.
You know, now that I'm thinking about it, maybe I just haven't played enough of these games like that have really good bullet damage. I can't think of a single one.
The one that you most recently played, Division, remember?
But it really doesn't. Like, they don't really react, you know, to specific parts being shot at. You know what I'm saying? Not really.
Use a shotgun. That'll do it. And a sniper rifle.
Oh, this shotgun in Gears is the best.
Mm-hmm. It puts a hole right in them.
Like, you know, in most games, like when you shoot at an enemy, like they don't really react to it. They just take bullets and die. Like, I'm trying to think of a game where like you actually see them specifically reacting to like the shots you give them. I can't think of many, to be honest.
Yo, we used to have this game tied between me and my friends in Gears 2, where it's like when we used to like talk, like, you know, like we were fucking in, I don't know, high school and shit, and like we used to always talk shit to each other, and like once we got into like debates or like in arguments, it's like, okay, this is how we're gonna settle it. We're gonna get in this. It was a Gears 2 map, and it's like we're gonna do just shotguns, and it's like in this room, like you're just in like this little corridor thing where you can't leave the corridor, and both are with shotguns, and you have to kill each other. It was the best, man. Fucking Gears, man. That'll happen to that game. Man.
I think it's coming. Yeah. Coming.
Nothing's
coming.
I think GZDR gave me my answer because I did like the fact that you could target specific body parts. Dead Space was crazy.
Oh,
like you could.
And their
bodies actually react to it. Mm. You know.
Yeah,
that line cutter, just take out their legs.
Yeah, the plasma cutter was my favorite.
Yeah, that was fucking amazing, man.
What wasn't was that damn gun that they gave with the collector's edition. Did anybody get that shit? Oh, what a ripoff.
I showed that to Manny. Remember, Manny? It was like, I couldn't even get my hand in the trigger.
I couldn't believe it. I'm like, what is this shit?
It's like made for a 5-year-old.
It was so bad. It was so bad. I was so hyped for that. I was like, this is garbage.
I have that too.
Yeah. See, we got ripped off.
As for favorite guns, you know, you don't want to say, man, the BFG, man, that shit is crazy. It's a big fucking gun. You know? What about you guys? What are your favorite guns in games?
LMG, gotta keep it Rambo. That's it. Love the LMG, just unlimited bullets.
Yeah, what I'm talking about, like a specific type of gun, because my answer will be assault rifles, obviously. But like, is there the Lancer? You already said it already. The Lancer. Yeah,
well, the Lancer. Yeah. For the Gears.
Yeah. You know, making that just fucking.
Oh man, that was awesome. Especially when they in Gears 2, when you can flip it upside down and get them from behind and just rip them up
and giblets and shit.
You know? Oh man, get from the gods.
Yeah, making me hungry. Oh man. All right. Anybody else want to jump in on his favorite guns and bullet damage?
You know what recently did good damage? That ape off of Dead Space actually was Resident Evil 2. Because you could shoot a zombie in a limb or whatever, and they'll get damaged. Even limb will even break off.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's so good. See, that's the type of shit I'm talking about.
Yeah, it has sight damage, and Resident Evil has a variety of guns, but it's so satisfying when you get that rocket launcher.
Oh.
When Tyrant has been dogging you the whole game, and you just blow his ass up with that shit, it's so satisfying.
Does he even? I mean, oh yeah.
It's a Resident Evil game. You know how they all end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, you run, you know, you try to avoid the you know, the final boss's attacks for like 3 minutes, and then they give you a rocket launcher. You kill them in one attack. They all
use this.
Use this. And I was fucking up because I forgot about that. I'm like, yo, I can't even take this dude out. And then when I got the rocket launcher, like my brain said, Tony, you're a fucking idiot. What game are you playing? Oh, so good. When it hits the lips, it's so good. All right, man. Glorious War. He goes Shinobi. 602 from Twitter, who is a well-known insider, said that the Order 1886 scored more than if the Order scored more than a 70 Metacritic, it would have gotten a sequel as it was a profitable game and sold well. Why does negative press affect a sequel being made if a game is profitable? And he says he blames Twitter console warriors. That's an interesting one. So yeah, because the Order 1886 sold 5 million copies. That's a lot for a new IP. But since it scored 70, they didn't get a sequel. That's very crazy to me. I'm like, you figured you sell 5 million to get a sequel, you know?
But did you guys not get that email from the publisher? I received an email and they were talking about
Adam, you get all the emails,
it was a whole video one too. It was like, oh, they're coming. They made it to America. Listen, we need help. Yeah, and they did this whole thing. So I'm like, oh, okay, it's definitely coming. I think they scrapped it for other reasons. Because the studio started focusing on some other game, and I remember they said something that Sony just didn't ask for another one.
Interesting. But no, but this is a problem that's been going on for years. Like, basically, like, the Metascore affects whether a game gets a sequel or not, which is, like, insane. Like, you figure sales would be the deciding factor, but, like, even studios, like, if they don't score a certain, if they're, let's just say, for example, a game a studio puts out doesn't get a certain Metascore, they will not get a bonus off of that. Chris, you could expand more on that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, these are metrics put on by the publishers, and so it's like they want you to not. I mean, they always, the most important thing to investors and everyone, they want sales, but they also realize that the Metacritic scores and whatever, the aggregates, affect perception, right? And that's future sales. They bank against those and whatnot. So that's why now they set these arbitrary metrics, like, okay, this game has to get an 80 or above 70 or above 80 Metacritic score, so that the game has a solid base, so that if you do future tiles off of it, it already has a solid, like, this game already has a positive feedback from the community, right? So that sales going forward won't be negatively impacted. If it has a negative review, let's say a game sells well, right, but it had like a 30 Metacritic score for some reason, I don't know, I'm just, this is just completely hypothetical. Yeah. Then it's not gonna be favorable. It's like, oh, but this is like ill received, even though it sold well. So maybe people jumped on the initial hype, bought the game, went, oh wow, this is really trash. You know, go on, trash it. Reviews are trash, whatever. So then nobody's gonna buy the next one. So you're hurting your future sales to get to short fill. So that's why they're trying to get it at both ends. They're trying to say, okay, we hitting good hitting sales is important, but also having the good word of mouth is important, so that going forward when we make sequels and stuff, that we're not impacted.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy, man.
It's interesting because it's like, you know, like, how did the Watch Dogs 2 sell compared to Watch Dogs 1?
It sold less.
Yeah.
See what it had good reviews. People liked it.
Despite it having good reviews, people still had that, you know, that bad taste in their mouth from the previous title.
I feel this is common in all forms of media. We see this mm-hmm. a lot with TV shows, when it's like, oh, the best show critics love that no one's watching. You know, we hear about that all the time. It's like they have faith.
Like, that happens with a lot of games, like Manny, for example. Even though, you know, like for example, I would say Metal Gear Solid 3 is a way better game than Metal Gear Solid 2. But because Metal Gear Solid 2 pissed so many people off, Metal Gear Solid 3 sold less.
Yeah. So, I mean, this could be a sort of same situation with The Order, where it's like, you know, who know? I mean, you know, there's also the bad reviews. There's also a pretty early in the generation sort of game. And then, you know, there was just a lot of complaints about a game. You know, that's the first moment, one of the earliest moments of where I heard we started hearing about people complaining about game length.
Yeah.
Life, you know, I mean, matters. granted, there was that talk before that, but I feel like it was at a fever pitch with that one.
Yeah, and now we hear it all the time, you know?
Now we're hearing it all the time. But, I mean...
I know, man, I know. Fucking bullshit.
I don't know. I mean, you know, maybe people that are all the people that are our age are the people that are talking. Because I swear, I see a lot of people complaining about game length. You know, like, games are fucking too long.
Yeah, exactly. And now, you know, now you have people like Amy Hennig, who's like, I don't know what I'm going to do because I made these type of games and now they don't sell anymore, or yeah, nobody like, wants them.
How much, I mean, like after, you know, like after playing that, you know, I played Kingdom Hearts for over 100 hours, you know, or, you know, spread over 3 months, right? I mean, to be honest, it's like I kind of yearn for those days when the games weren't that, you know, at least those, you know, action adventure games were only about six to 10 hours.
But yet for movies, it's going reverse. We're seeing these longer movies. Look at this Endgame. There were people bitching about how long it was, you know, but then there's people other people said it should have been longer.
People bitched about the Lord of the Rings, the third Lord of the Rings movie being so long. So, you know, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. All right, man. Moving on here. Okay. And Chris, this is something that was revealed in the financials, that the PS4 last year, during the whole fiscal year of last year, made more money than the entire span of the PlayStation 2 in a single year. So he wants he wants your take on that. How is that possible?
Inflation. Well, it's not just inflation, because remember, the value of the dollar during the PS2 is higher than it is now. So those sales would have been worth more. It's they're including PSN subscriptions in that pool, I bet. So it's not just system sales, they also count live services at offering. So when I read the Microsoft financials, it was game services they were talking about with Xbox. So it's not just hardware sales, they lump everything together. And because their hardware sales were weak, they were focusing on live services, which is Xbox Live and Game Pass. So that's probably what Sony's doing here. When they sell the systems, they're also looking at how many new subscriptions did we get to PSN, and they put that in there. So the live service they offer, PlayStation Plus, PlayStation not View. What is the Gaikai? PlayStation Now. They count that too. Yeah, so that's why. So when they had those high sales at 1 year, so they must have had a ton of new subscriptions. Also, people at PS Now, whatever, and they put all that together. So that total revenue adds up to more than just selling PS2s in that lifetime, right? You're only looking at hardware sales.
Yeah. So yeah, that makes sense to me. Damn, is that it for the day? Is that all we got for you, man? Fan of Ash, I see you in there, brother. Got any questions? The hell is that noise?
That's somebody using like your mouse.
Typing. No, it sounds like someone's typing.
It's Adam.
Or is that, yeah?
No, it's no, because I hear someone typing. That's not me. I'm not typing.
That sounded like somebody was like playing like Cannonball or something.
Yeah,
no, keep it up. Keep doing it. It's not me for real. Someone, whatever you were just doing, do it again. See, whatever
that,
no,
that was in the noise though.
That wasn't me though. That was in the noise
I heard. It sounded like maybe a little very small dog barking. I don't know.
See, but I heard it was
what is that? The Terminator?
Yeah, yo, Adam, hit us with some beats, man.
Speaking of beats, I finally cleared up all my shit, so hopefully I get all my music back on Spotify and iTunes and all that other stuff.
Excuse me? Yeah, literally, you know, folks, Adam is also a musician, as well as being a butcher, a baker, and a candlestick maker.
Exactly. I get through all kinds of shit. Been there, done that. Yeah, it was funny because Dana hit me up. She was like, oh, I got to interview Wu-Tang for this, for the movie. So you have any ideas or questions? I was like, yeah. It's like, well, I interviewed Ghostface and Capadonna. And she brought up the same thing. She's like, what haven't you done? I'm like, well, just well, don't talk.
You worked at a magazine. I mean, that
means- I know that was the thing. Yeah, I worked at a magazine. So I got to interview a lot of people. Cypress Hill and Tony Touch. He's not around anymore, I think.
Yeah. By the way, Carlos, you missed this one. Adam, you did basic training, right? Too
basic.
Oh, no, I know.
Okay, you know that one. Okay, good. There was one story. I'm like, Carlos wasn't here to hear this. Like, that's another thing that Adam's done.
Yo, Adam, I'm telling you, man, he's the Renaissance man.
I definitely have to write a book.
You should, man. The butter book.
The butter book.
The butter book.
No, what you do is you just call it Five Borough Traveler.
That's it. Well, that's it. That's it. Five
Boroughs. Ooh, Fanabash hit us with something, man.
He's hitting.
Okay. What will be the top 10 new IPs remembered from this generation?
Horizon Zero Dawn.
Motherfuck.
That's the only one I could.
I can't. Yeah, this like new IPs this generation.
The Division.
The Division.
That could be a generation. Fortnite. Yeah. Fortnite.
Oh God! We have to be objective about it. So yeah, Fortnite probably will be one.
Yep.
By the way, Ninja's done like a lot for gaming, right? Like he is.
It's
fucking stupid.
You know, it was first of all, Nintendo saved us off the video game crash. Then it was a Ninja. You know, like
of course, yeah, exactly.
Well, if you're gonna do that, then Battlegrounds. Later on, Battlegrounds that'll be up there.
Yeah. Okay, well,
that really picked up the trend.
So. Yeah, nah, I'm not disagreeing, but you hear my voice though. So
it's not what you want to hear, but it's the reality. No,
it just shows you how like kind of like weak this generation was, you know.
I mean, to be honest, it's if you think about the whole thing of our the way everything goes, man. These companies are not going to take any sort of chances. We're going to just keep getting sequels and sequels and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, these online things where they just, you know, these essentially massive multiplayer online games where everybody shoots the shit out of each other, which don't take a lot of time to develop, are going to become the thing.
Yeah, like a lot of the great games, there has been a lot of really good games this generation, but very few of them have been new IPs. So I definitely want to hear you guys in the chat sound off on what do you think are good new IPs.
But we see this everywhere. We see this with movies. We see this with TV shows. You see all these old TV shows coming back. You know,
it's the surefire bet.
Exactly. That's it. You're like, all right, what worked a decade ago? I'm like, all right, this worked. All right, let's bring it back. And they have numbers now to back it up. I mean, the whole thing with Roseanne was just it was getting huge numbers on the streaming services. People will love watching the old stuff. So like, all right, we'll bring it back. Same thing with Prison Break. You know, hell, the main guy died in the series. House. And they're like, yeah, Fuller House. I mean, they have numbers backing it up. And they're like, all right, let's bring it back. Now we see that The Office is coming back.
I feel like every generation we get less and less of them. But I think that's because they want to take less and less risks.
Last gen was pretty epic.
Last gen was epic as fuck when you IPs. Yeah.
Dragon's Age.
Yeah.
I think it was also
Assassin's Creed, Gears of War, Uncharted. Like it was great.
Last of Us.
And I feel like it was because it was a bigger jump in tech when it comes to the consoles. Like if you compare PS2 to PS3, I feel like it was like night and day.
Yeah.
I mean, one that comes to my head is Cuphead, but that's not going to get really recognized that much.
Yo, Carlos, here you go. Rise, Son of Rome, son.
Oh, the IP to start everything, man.
Yeah, exactly. That's, man, I was so hyped for that game. I was so hyped.
We never. It's funny because you weren't on the show when that came on. It's like I can't imagine.
Glorious War. No one's gonna remember Watch Dogs.
No, at least not for the right reasons.
You know.
No.
Maybe is Cyberpunk gonna come out this gen?
Probably
Cyberpunk?
Not.
Nah, I don't think so.
I don't know.
Oh, Rocket League. Yeah, I don't. Was that this gen though?
Yeah, that was this gen.
Rocket League. That's
yeah, that was pretty. Yeah. Remember Rocket League, that came out at the PS4 Plus free game
gen, man.
Well, that's what you guys were saying earlier on in this generation. You know, there's not a lot of games and there's not a lot of new things coming out there. I mean, to be honest, it's like nowadays these big game, you know, big new games are big gambles.
Yeah. Every game I really liked this generation has been a fucking sequel to something. Horizon Zero Dawn's the only one that comes to mind.
Horizon.
Man. That's the only one. You know,
like even games like Nier or Persona, those are sequels.
Nier, Persona are both sequels.
Days Gone isn't. You know, I don't think no one's going to remember.
It's not going to get remembered.
I don't know about Days Gone. Definitely not The Order 1886.
No hell.
Bloodborne.
There you go. There you go. That's a good one. Glorious War says we still have Ghost of Tsushima and Death Stranding.
But you know, we're living in bad times when we're fucking hoping that the last two hype games to come out this gen
are the one to be the ones, right?
Yeah. Damn. Yeah. Anthem. No one's gonna give a fuck about Anthem. Neo. I guess Neo counts. You know, people like that Sekiro.
People like it, but I don't. Yeah. I don't feel like it's that point. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, you're right about that.
It's not fever pitch on that game.
No. For sure.
That's a really good question, though.
Yeah,
damn. That is a really good question.
It's not going to be. It's just going to be known for a lot of remakes.
Yeah. Isaac, the game 1886 actually sold 5 million copies, not 1,886 copies. Imagine if it did. Hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, the Order 1886 did very well sales-wise, but unfortunately, the whole aspect of everybody kind of complaining about game length and all that sort of stuff, that's what pretty much killed the whole thing.
Yeah,
I mean, to be honest, I look at it. I look at the Order as a stepping stone. It's like, okay, they did a pretty decent sort of job. So now the next one is the point where you can improve upon it. But I feel like the legacy of the previous game is so bad that if they did even release it, it would probably just crash and burn like Watch Dogs 2.
Yeah. By the way, let me just read some stuff off the comments. No one's going to give a fuck about Knack. GZDR. Just keeping it real.
Unfortunately, Knack is the sad part of Knack is it's the unfortunate one to be the tech demo for the PlayStation 4. You know.
Yeah.
Reggie says you can add some indie games. I can, but I won't. You know, whatever.
It's funny how so many people before are against like playing old games. Oh no, I'm not going back. I don't want to play these old games. Backward compatible, I don't care. But then they're the first to go buy all these remasters and remakes because that's what you're gonna get. That's why I'm glad that the PS5 is gonna support PS4. People are like, who cares? I don't want to play old games. I already finished them. I said, yeah, you say that now, and then let's say they didn't have it, and then they're like, oh, we got a super remaster on PS5. They go and spend $40-$50 just to get it again.
The one thing I can see good about that, at least for me as a person purchasing a new console, if it means that I can, you know, upgrade it, like, you know, in other words, I didn't buy into the whole PlayStation Pro, but if the PlayStation, you know, 5 is backward compatible and, you know, has pretty much, you know, make, you know, does a lot of, you know, on the older games, I would be okay. Yeah, I'll box up the old PlayStation 4 and then put down the new PS5.
You know what? Glorious War has a point. No Man's Sky is going to be remembered because people are enjoying it now because they fixed it, you know?
You know, it's funny about No Man's Sky. Somehow they've managed to weather the storm.
Yes.
They went from being the darling to a fucking asshole, right? At the bottom of the barrel because of the disappointment people felt on it. But then at the end, it just kind of slowly but surely read its way up. They kind of shut their mouths, stopped saying anything, and just kept on putting out updates until they got it to a point where it is now exactly what they said it was.
Yeah, it's interesting, man. Destiny, that's going to be remembered. You know, that Destiny, was
one, that's last one. Gen.
Yeah, that was last gen.
Yeah, that is also true. But it's one of those cross games, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Destiny was on PS3,
but
right?
But here's the thing. Yeah.
Wait, was it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was. I played on PS3.
I think it was.
Oh, no, I didn't play
on PS3. No, because I remember.
But it is on PS3.
I remember I got it with my Xbox One controller, and it was.
But it was a PS3. Drifting. It did come out on 360 as well.
Yeah, like Manny said, it was like one of those cross-gen.
It was a cross-gen
one. It's in the same slot as Metal Gear 5 as well. You know, Metal Gear 5 started on, you know, I think Ground Zeroes and
yes, both of them.
Phantom Pain are both on PS3 and
that's Xbox, right. Yeah, that's right.
Black Flag really did that too.
Shout out to GZDR Scalebound for not coming out.
Well, doesn't Nintendo have an ace in a hole at some point? They said that we're going to be announcing a game that wasn't that everybody thought was gone. That hasn't happened yet, has it?
Other than Bayonetta, I can't think of anything else.
No, yeah, you're right about that. They said that they're going to announce a game that hasn't, you know, that everybody thought was gone, but I don't think they've announced that.
I think it's one of their older games. They should bring back Punch-Out, a modern version of that.
ARMS?
Oh, no, that wasn't Punch-Out. We need Little Mac. If it don't have Little Mac.
Yeah, man, there you go.
Yo, man, that game needs Mike Tyson.
No, they're gonna have a Vander Holyfield in there instead, you know? I don't know. Who's a new boxer, man?
No, they have Mayweather.
Okay, there you go.
Mayweather in there.
Yeah, Mayweather's Punch-Out.
He's still undefeated, man. The guy's like 80, was it 89 wins or something like that? 88 wins.
Well, this is interesting. Vandevash says, fun fact, the PS3 is the only platform in which you can play the entire mainline Metal Gear Solid series. That is very true.
Yep, it is. It is the only. It is the only console you can play every single one from one all the way to five.
Yep, that is
both fives as well.
Yeah, crazy.
Phantom Pain came out on PS3.
Yes, it did.
Yes, yep. I played it on that.
Yeah, it was a transitional.
It was a transitional game.
Yo, Glorious War says Anthem will be remembered for killing BioWare. Damn. Oh, damn.
Well, just remember where you heard that first.
Yeah, exactly, man. I'm just saying. I'm just saying we've been saying. Mm-hmm. You know. All right, man. I'm gonna wrap this shit up. I'm gonna watch Game of Thrones already. So let me pull up the graphic here, so you guys know the deal about asking them questions.
What's
so
the dealio?
Yeah. So step one, you join our Discord. Right. Step two, on Discord, you go to throw out your questions section, and step three, you submit your questions and you limit them to two questions each. Remember, video game questions. I think Big Mike was asking us about Endgame. Son, no, we don't do that right here. But if you want to hear us talk about Endgame, at least me and Carlos, go over to the Coalition's channel, man, on YouTube. The spoiler alert for that is up now, I believe. So, yeah, a little over 2 hours, had some good conversations. Robert Workman joined us, which is a lot of fun.
Shout out to Reggie.
It was an actual spoiler alert.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Oh, by the way, shout out to Reggie who's in the chat. This motherfucker, I'm not exaggerating, this motherfucker cried during the podcast, man. He got so emotional reliving these scenes, you know, like the movie hits him that way, man. So when he was recounting the final battle, like, my man had tears coming down his eyes. It was real, you know?
Me almost tear up, man.
I'm still insane by this. You resurrected spoiler alert?
No, not me. The Coalition has one.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no, okay.
Rick told me about
it. That's spoiler. That's a spoiler. It's a
spoiler.
No, 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 no. That's their spoiler cast. That has nothing to do with us.
Yeah, no. I was gonna say, man.
Yeah, no. We'll dig up spoiler alerts whenever a video game comes, a video game that we all play, that we could discuss comes out. You know.
And well, that's once in a generation.
Pretty much. You all played The Division. You could have did a spoiler alert on that.
Hey.
I mean, technically, it's not over.
What happened, Brett? What happened?
All going back to Monster Hunter in the fall.
There you go. Yeah. That's the thing. The games that we all play generally don't have stories, you know? Yeah,
I mean, the Division story, what's going on? Nothing. It's still not over. It's shit's still fucked up. People still invading. We didn't solve anything at the end of that.
Fucked up, you know?
By the way, Glorious War attribute, should we have a throwdown Game of Thrones spoiler channel?
No. Game of Thrones? Yeah, sure. Why not, you know?
I mean, if a lot of people want it, then I'll make it, but I don't know. I think it's only you that's been asking for it, so.
Yeah, that is also true.
You'll like be the only one in the room. You're like, man, I can't believe this shit happened. Oh,
by the way, shout out to Johnny W Uppercut for asking for putting the period in front of W, but he's literally asking us a question now, but I'm going to allow it.
Run that shit back.
We're here for you. Oh, he's typing right now, too. We're here for you people. I'm just reading this raw right now. I'm now editing. Am I the only one who's tired of video game publishers saying they can't afford to make new games but can pay the higher ups big paychecks?
Oh, no, I'm perfectly okay with that.
Paying the higher ups
that's good money. That's sarcasm. For people who don't know, that is complete sarcasm. That's bullshit. It's just reflective of the world we live in, though.
I mean, the thing is, and you know, the sad thing about a lot of them, like, you know, there are definitely people that definitely earned their way up. You know, I'd like to say, you know, the former, president of Nintendo,
Iwata.
Iwata, he was one person that I felt like he was a person that that deserved to be there. You know, he worked his way up. He was a developer.
He took a pay cut whenever they fucked up.
Yeah, and even to the point where he even took a pay cut when the company wasn't doing very well. And all the he even urged that all the executives do the same. So, I mean, it seems to be only these Western, you know, companies that like to, you know, pull those little switcheroos where they're not, you know, they have these really, you know, these higher up guys that get paid all these millions of dollars, but yet in all to save money at the company, they fire about a whole team, you know, of 100 people
instead of taking a pay cut.
And then also expect, and then at the same time, they also expect to make good games. He's like, okay, guys, you just fired all the people that make all the good games at your company, and you wonder why the sequel didn't do so well.
Well, just hire hungry young people to do it.
No, that's how a lot of the industry does it. Where it's like, you know, when the senior guys have been there for a while and they're getting paid quite a bit, what they'll do is they'll just drop out the bottom, get rid of everybody, and then rehire everybody from the thing, and then keep around key people, you know, from the team, you know, like you know managers and you know certain people at the top to kind of, you know, that portion of it, and just drop out the bottom. Mm-hmm. Is it fair? I think it sucks because it's like, why, like, you know, dude, I understand you handle the business of the industry, but to be honest, you should be getting paid, you know, that much more. I mean, the people underneath you do way more than you do. Sorry.
I mean, it's also just stupid. I mean, any other industry, I think it would be a little bit highlighted, but it's like coming at me like, all right, welcome to Brett's Bakery and Cookie Shop. Our margins are really difficult. So you know what? All the pastry chefs fucking fired. Now let's get to making some cookies. What? How? Oh, let's hire some people. Like, okay, you clearly don't understand. It's not just about putting all the components together. And I mean, it kind of is if you frame it that way, which would explain a lot of why we're getting cookie cutter run of the mill bullshit. Because it's essentially, I'm not sure. I think Manuel backed me up on this. When you take a creative type or a group of creative types and you put somebody who's not a creative type in charge of them, it ends poorly because the non-creative type is looking through a very limited scale. When I have somebody micromanaging me on a tattoo, it's going to turn out mediocre because you're not conceptualizing it from all the opportunities that I can think of I can think of more. This is my job. Your job is to provide me the space and the resources to do my job the best that I can.
Mm-hmm.
And that is compounded when you have mid-level management constantly turning over because the upper management is basically saying, get the workload out of them or you're fired. So middle management has a fairly high turnover and no idea what they're doing. So every 6 months to a year, you have a new jackass who doesn't know their ass from a hole in the ground coming in trying to manage a team of creatives with no idea other than we want divinity or we want there, excuse me, we want division or we want this game or that game or Call of Duty. Like that's the only scope that they can think of. And they're the ones holding the power and the creative. So the only way something gets into the game is if one of the developers is like, I think this is a really good idea. I'm going to kind of test this and build this and try and pitch it to the higher ups for no reward whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And then that middle management sometimes takes the bait and uses it to ride a little higher in the company. Like the only way that good things happen in games in that circumstance is almost accidentally. It's just, it's weird and it's stupid.
I think that's also quite the same with a lot of things in the industry. I'm not going to say who it was at my, place that I worked at, but a person that I worked with at a studio, and they had worked in the animation industry for a very, very long time. Let's just say that they worked in the industry at the point when we were watching cartoons in the 80s. And this person had even though they've worked in the animation industry for so long, had absolutely no idea how animation works. Even despite them working in the industry for that long, they didn't understand a single bit of how anything works. Even if it was like, you would think in all those years, and was it maybe 30 years or 25 years or something like that, in all that time, they would have actually picked up something from the industry, picked up, okay, that's how you do this. Okay, this is what, trying to get a little more knowledge on it. No, they were just like, okay, point in the direction and hit that mark. And that person, went throughout the industry, constantly going up and up and up, but they had no idea how it worked. So those are the type of people that are control the thing out there. I would, in a perfect world, it would be great if a person who was in charge of the development, who was at the top of the line, said, knew exactly how the process works and is able to effectively, schedule things for the people underneath them. But once you get to a certain size, you get people out there, you get people from Coca-Cola working at your video game company because they have managerial experience. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
By the way, shout out to Johnny W. Uppercut once again for putting that period in front of the W. That just looks so much better. That thing was really fucking me up every week, man. Glorious War and Isaac both won a Game of Thrones spoiler. If we get more people, they want a spoiler thread in the Discord.
Well, you know what we can do? We can actually throw it to you guys. We'll just put up a little vote thing on our Twitter if you guys want a Game of Thrones
vote thing.
Huh?
I'll just ask it right here on Discord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can do that.
All right. But it seems like the end game one, that was like overwhelming. People wanted that. And that chat is, it was popping.
Is juking and jiving?
Yeah, it was crazy, man. Everybody loved talking about Wolverine making his appearance in the movie,
That was crazy. I did not expect that.
Wolverine and Batman? Shit was crazy, man.
Didn't Shazam show up? I would think he would have.
All right, man, let's end this shit. So thank you for watching and listening. Leave us your questions in the Throwdown Discord server and we'll answer them on next week's show. Subscribe to Throwdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Twitch, Twitter, and Facebook at Throwdown Show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco, and tonight's joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you later, guys. And also, thanks a lot for making our giveaway possible. It was all you guys that paid for that, helped with the revenue on YouTube that actually helped pay for this contest. Hopefully, we'll have a lot more.
Yay. Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
If you haven't seen this week's episode of Game of Thrones, you're in for a fucking treat.
Don't spoil it, man. I don't even want to know it's good. All right, Brett Murdoch.
It's been real.
Adam Vale.
Have a good week, people.
and Brian Manjoma.
He did the thing in the movie. He did the thing.
All right, guys. We'll see you on Thursday. Get ready for those financials from Sony, man. Later.
Later, guys.
Peace.